The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
But we go on. And speaking of going on, this is a new year. Because of the need for us to cut the service short this morning, I'm going to hold the sermon I had prepared for today until next week. But I do have, I always get up early on Sunday morning and kind of put a sharp edge on whatever I plan on saying, you know, to get myself ready to come. And this morning, before I got here, knew that we were going to have a problem with the water in the building. I thought, I wonder if I ought to just dispense with the sermon and just say this other scripture that the Lord brought to my heart. I thought, no, and I thought, I've done that before, you know, I could do it again. But I said, no, I'm just going to go ahead and proceed with what I had planned to say. Well, lo and behold, because I don't want to keep you here without having the facilities of the building that we need, I thought, well, I guess God had another plan. And I want to share with you a scripture that the Lord actually gave to me last night. Someone asked me, do you have a scripture for the year? And I said, well, I've been praying about it, but I don't have anything, you know, planned. The Lord hadn't given me anything. So I was sitting there, and I had my Bible on my cell phone, and so I started going through a couple of scriptures, and the Lord led me to a scripture. And if you've got your Bibles, because this is not going to be on the overhead unless Jim can get it up, and it's in the Psalms, chapter 118, beginning in verse 12. And Jim, if you do bring it up in the New Living Translation, okay? Because it says it just a little bit differently. Let me read it for you. They swarmed around me like bees. They blazed against me like a crackling fire. But I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. My enemies did their best to kill me, but the Lord rescued me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. The strong right arm of the Lord has done this glorious thing. The strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. And I think this is a good scripture for us to grab hold of for the current year. Pat mentioned earlier, we have a new president. Like it or not, we have a new president. Our country is divided, like it or not. There are people who hate the thought, and the others who are overjoyed with the thought of Donald J. Trump being our next president of the United States. As I mentioned to you earlier, I've been reading some inaugural speeches from people like Washington and Adams and Jefferson, and as far as McKinley and Lincoln and others. And I found that these men had some things that would apply to us for this coming year. They had a sense of destiny, that God was some way, somehow shaping them and shaping our nation. They had a realization that this was bigger than themselves, that in some way God had intervened in the affairs of mortal men to bring them to that place. I like to read biographies and autobiographies, and I especially like to read things about some of the great men of history and women of history, primarily those that fall into the category of our founding fathers, such as Hamilton and Adams and Lincoln and others. And a biography that I read about Lincoln who stands out above the crowd in many ways. He believed that he was born like Esther for such a time as this, and that he saw himself ordained by God for that moment in time to be the President of the United States. That's pretty amazing. You know, and I've told you in the past, I've read other things like Christopher Columbus believed that God had destined him to do what he was doing. And many of these great men and women that we know historically, they had a sense that God was moving in their lives. Virtually every inaugural speech that I read has that element, just an overriding element in what they said. The other thing is they did is they addressed the reality of the situation that the country was in at that time. They spoke about, to use that old cliche of our society, they spoke about the good, the bad, and the ugly. I mean, they just put it out there. And with the great exception of Washington and Adams, and even Adams felt this more so than Washington did, they sensed the divide in the nation. Elections tend to polarize us. Because if you have one person, it's pretty easy. The selection of George Washington as president was unanimous. There were virtually no one who opposed that. He was a great military leader. He was well-loved by the nation. And so he solidified a lot of things. But it didn't take very long. Even when Adams ran, became the second president of the United States, And he served, by the way, as vice president under Washington. There was a divide. There was a divide between he and Jefferson as to which one should be president. And Adams won that, not by a great majority, by the way. And he became president. And he addressed the issue of divisiveness in the nation. And that he saw it, that it existed, but he said that we need to move to unite ourselves. We need to put aside the things that divide us and latch on to the things that unite us. As other presidents, and I began to read their inaugural addresses, they had a sense of reaching back to the founding fathers, and they would enumerate and list Washington and Adams and Jefferson and others, and they said, these men laid a foundation for us, and we cannot forget what they've done. We must remember and honor the work that they did. And they felt this sense of destiny of they were building something for the future. And they mentioned those who would come behind them. And they said that we need to keep this thing tightly gathered together, forget about what divides us, build on what unites us, and to go forward. Lincoln, and if you can, I would encourage you, if you have access to a computer, go Google Lincoln's inaugural address and read it. Now, the language is a little bit archaic, and so you kind of have to kind of work your way through a little bit. But he stood on the precipice of time, unknowing what was in the future. But he did understand that the days ahead would be difficult. And they would be difficult because of the great divide that existed in the country. I mean, he was elected, by the hair of his chinny chin chin. I mean, so he wasn't, there wasn't a great popular vote for him. But he got enough electoral votes through the Electoral College to take over the presidency. And he said this, and I'm paraphrasing what he said. He said, we live in this place called the United States of America. And then we have borders that are built around our states. He said, and we can fight, and we can war, and we can rattle our sabers, if you will. But at the end of the day, when men grow tired of battle, at the end of the day, when wars cease, those lines will still be there, and we will still be looking at each other. And he said, it is better for us to unite and to voice our opinions and to work out solutions than it is to bow up our backs and do things that are unconscionable. And he said, none of you who oppose me have taken a solemn oath to destroy this nation. But I, on the other hand, have taken a solemn oath before God Almighty to preserve, to protect, and to defend our Constitution and our nation. And boy, when I read that, boy, just jumped right off the page into my heart. I said, yes, that is the truth. And those in our divided country, we need to not look at them as enemies. That's what Lincoln says. Let's not look at ourselves as enemies. And let's not look at ourselves as just neighbors, but let's look at ourselves as friends. In my short time on this planet, in the elections that I've seen, there have been some pretty bitter things. But by and large, everyone knew where we were going. But we just had different ideas of how to get there. All right? I don't think that's true today. I think we've got different goals. And because we have different goals, it's really hard for us to unite. So what I want to suggest to you, that based on the scriptures that I just read to you, that we begin to think in terms of God directing our path. The sermon that I didn't preach to you, that I'll preach next week, God willing, we see where Ezra was led and commissioned by Cyrus, an ungodly king, to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And he felt that sense of destiny. It's one of the things that has been spoken by men and women of faith is that Donald Trump is like Cyrus, King Cyrus and Doris and other ungodly kings, that God chose the unlikely, moved on their hearts to do his divine will. I'm sure Cyrus, who commissioned Ezra to go, when he told him, look, whatever you need, I'll give it to you. You need gold, you need silver, you need money, you know, you need people, you need authority. I give you all those things. And I'm sure he heard himself saying that and saying, why am I doing this? What gain is it to me? Why would I do it? I think Donald Trump woke up on the day after the election and said, what am I doing? I don't need this. You know, he's got the whole world in terms of the things that anybody on the planet would love to have. When you have the wealth of someone like that, that's beyond rich. I mean, he's beyond rich. I mean, you might have noticed that he likes Trump One better than he does Air Force One. You know, his plane he likes better than Air Force One. I think he's got plans to maybe use his own plane. I don't know. I'm just surmising. But why am I telling you this in church? I'm telling this in church because we are the hope to bring unity to our society that we live in. And if we speak with bitterness and rancor and anger, nothing good will come from it. I'm very disappointed in some of the things that have happened. But I'm going to go back and read this passage of Scripture to you again now that I've said what I just said. They swarmed around me like bees. They blazed against me like crackling fire. But I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. The voices of hate that have risen up, that are, and I think that's a great picture. They like a swarm of bees. If you've ever been hit by a swarm of bees, you understand this. I have, and it's not a fun thing. I mean, you're slapping yourself in your head, trying to run, trying to get away from it, so you don't get stung. And like the blazing fire, And that is some of what we see going on in our world today in the negative. But the psalmist said, I destroyed them with the authority of the Lord. We have authority and power in the name of Jesus that we can use that will tear down these strongholds. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers, against powers in high places. But we have the ability to cast down imaginations and bring down everything that lifts itself up against the knowledge of God. So remember the series we did on spiritual battle and spiritual warfare just a couple of months ago? I think we need to reconsider some of that. He said, my enemies did their best to kill me, but the Lord rescued me. Beloved, I can't guarantee you that a miracle will continue until the end of the time, but I can guarantee you that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be here. When the smoke clears, when the battles are over, the church will be here. And you are the church. We will be here, and we will not be defeated. In verse 14, it said, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me the victory. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camps of the godly. So it's the songs of Zion. It's the gathering together. It's the worshiping of God. It's the praying together. It's the having faith and trust in our system that God has placed us in, and to do whatever it is that we have the ability to do. Let me repeat myself for a moment to make this point. When the election of Barack Obama took place, and I was not a Barack Obama fan, not because of his color, but because of his, I thought his inexperience and his not understanding the value of life and family, which I believe are paramount for us to have a good society. So I was somewhat despondent about it, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, forget about Washington, D.C., get busy in Slidell. And as you know, the rest is history, as they say. That's what the mayor's prayer breakfast is all about. I didn't even know the mayor at that time, but the day after the Lord spoke that to my heart, I went to see our city councilman, who was a friend of mine, and I said, didn't the mayor say something about having a prayer breakfast when he was inaugurated? And he said, Jan, he's never done anything about that. I said, I wonder if he would be interested. And Bill and I, the city councilman, had tried on numerous occasions with previous administrations to get a prayer breakfast going in our community, and they wouldn't do it. They just flat said no. They didn't say, well, think about it, we'll pray about it, I'll talk to the city council. They said no. When Bill brought that idea to Mayor Drennan, he said, let's get it started. The next day I was called into a meeting, and we had our first mayor's prayer breakfast, which has now been... This is, I believe, our fifth one that's coming up. Why do I tell you that? Because in God's divine providence, he did what we were unable to do ourselves. That has had a spillover into other cities in our community, so that now the mayors from other cities come to this Slidell Mayor's Prayer Breakfast, and they pray and read the prayers of our founding fathers, which we prepare for them. And those of you who have been there know that it's absolutely astounding. People come to me every year and say, I had no idea that our founding fathers believed those things or prayed those things. They had no idea. They bought into the separation of church and state, the bogus, and they bought into these men were a bunch of deists, and they didn't know God, they didn't know Christ. And when they hear their prayers and the things that they said, and they'll hear it again this coming year, it always amazes the people that are there. And what's happened is now in other communities besides ours, mayors' prayer breakfasts have risen up. We've had godly men and women elected to office that are changing the complexion of our whole St. Tammany Parish. It's amazing things. Working through the Slidell Ministers Association, which I've, during that period of time, got involved in, which I had no desire to do. God opened the doors. And I'm going to say this in context, so I don't want to toot my own horn. But I'm just going to say this in context of God moving. One of the black ministers in the community has on two occasions, the most recent was a couple of weeks ago, said to me, he said, Morris, you have no idea what you've done in this community. And I just blew him off. I said, forget about it. It's not me, and I'm not doing anything. I'm just trying to do whatever I think is pertinent at the moment. And he said, you've changed things for us in the black community. So you've given us access to places we never had before. You've brought us to the forefront of the powers in our community and given us a voice that we never had before. And I think about that. I know that has happened, but I don't want to take any credit for it. And I don't take credit for it because I believe it's the hand of God. God is moving. He's answered our prayers. I believe the 21-day fast that we've been having in this church and other churches that have now joined in is changing the life of our community. Now, those who have great hope and expectations for Donald Trump is doomed to fail without the prayers and fasting and support that we give him. We need to pray for him. We don't agree with him, everything he does, you know. But we can't trust in him and his cabinet. We must always trust in God. And when we trust God, we can see great and wonderful things happen. And we do it with songs of Zion, making melody in your heart. Go read Philippians chapter 4 when Paul gives us an outline of things that we should do. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. And he goes on about that whatever we need to go before God, he says, bring your petitions before God, you know, and ask him to move on your behalf. And he says, this the Lord will do. He said, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. He said, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are of virtue, if there's anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. So he's talking about how we should pray, how we should think, how we should act in our Christian way. And I believe this scripture that we just read speaks of that. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. Songs of joy and victory, a song in the camp of the godly. This is a picture of the church. It's where these things take place. And he says, the strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. And we need to be the voice that proclaims to our neighbors, to our family, to our community, and wherever we have those opportunities, that it is the hand of God that is moving. If our mayor was here, and he just told me last week as we were making preparations for the prayer of records to come out, we were just sitting around musing after the meeting, and he said, nobody in the world can convince me that the prosperity and the things that we are seeing happen in our community happen by chance or by the wisdom of man, but this has been done by the power of God. When I had that first meeting with the mayor to talk about prayer in our community, we were sinking quickly. We were, for the first time in the history of Slidell, having layoffs of employees. He's the first elected mayor of the city of Slidell who ever had to let employees go. That we were cutting back on a lot of city services because there was no money. The sales tax revenue was at the lowest percentages it's ever been in. And today, there are surplus money in the city coffers. The sales tax are up. New business, we have more new business startups in Slidell than they have record of before. Good things are happening. He said, and he didn't name them, so I don't know who they are, that there are businesses, very solid, strong businesses that are making plans right now to move in Slidell that will be bringing in jobs. He mentioned one that will be bringing in jobs of several hundred people that will be hired, and he said they'll be paying high paid wages up in the six figures. So these things are happening, okay? But it's all the hand of the Lord that takes place. It's what God has done. The strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. So let's look to God this year. Let's do our part. We have a part in the future of our community and of our nation. And I know we're a small church and we're not as strong as we used to be, but that's looking at things in the natural. In the supernatural, there are great things ahead of us. I don't know all that the doors that God will open, but I'm looking for those doors to open. And he'll strengthen us and help us to do things that we never even dreamed of. The last verse in this thing is Psalm 119:17. I will not die, instead I will live to tell what the Lord has done. I didn't know until yesterday when I read this. When I was in my accident, my boating accident, I lost my arm, and I was laying in the bottom of the boat, just bleeding like crazy. Some of you will remember what the Lord spoke to me. He said, you will live and not die. I instantaneously quit bleeding. I never lost consciousness, never had any pain. Stayed in that boat for 3.5 hours before the Coast Guard picked me up and brought me back here to safety where I could get medical help. Here's the interesting part about it. I knew before I got hurt that some change was coming. I wasn't backslidden. I wasn't in the midst of, God trying to get my attention to do something. I wasn't resisting the work of God. But in fact, I was on the highest spiritual high I had ever been in on that day. And those of you who know me know I love fishing. I mean, I can remember as a toddler, my dad taking me out to fish on Lake Pontchartrain, just standing on the seawall. I've loved fishing. I love water. I love boats. And while I was out there not catching any fish that day before I got hurt, I felt the Lord telling me to get rid of my boat. And I'd get rid of my house before I get rid of my boat. I mean, I love that boat. And But I knew it was time for a change. And as I've said, told the Lord when I first got saved, if you'll just open the doors for me, I'll walk through them. And I said, Lord, when I get back to Slidell, that boat's going up for sale. I'd rather live doing what God wants me to do than have a boat. I had no idea that 20 minutes later I'd be dying. So it wasn't like God was trying to hurt me. What happened? We are in a war. This is spiritual warfare. And then you get wounded in spiritual warfare. Say, oh, Pastor, that's crazy. You just got out of the boat and you fell into the prop, and that's just the way it is. Well, you can believe that if you want. I believe the enemy tried to kill me. But the word of God came to me when I was dying. I got nurses here. You can't lose as much blood as I lost and live. When they got me to a hospital, I had zero blood pressure. None. Because I heard, because I'm in there and they're trying to work on me, and I heard the nurses say, he's got no blood pressure. We got to get some blood into him. We got to do something to get it. And I'm wide awake and as lucid as I am right now. And they said, are you okay? I said, I'm okay. And then the funny part of it all, I still have my life preserver on, which is one of those new kind of thin ones, you know. And she said, is it okay if I cut this off of you? I said, yes, it's okay. You can cut it off. The point is that I should not have survived that. And I did. And for what reason? I believe so that I could see the glory of the hand of God move. Yes. Someone said to me last night, somebody who worries about me not having two arms, said, you know, don't you want to see your arm reattaching, God to give you arm? I said, believe me, that's the last thing on my priority list. It doesn't matter to me. Because whether I have one arm or no arms, it only matters that God is at work in me to do his good will. You see what it said right here? And I didn't know all this was in here. I don't know why I didn't read the front part of this thing. I knew the scripture. said, I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. I am here to tell you what the Lord has done. At my age, I should be hanging up my spurs a long time ago. But I feel strong. I feel God directing me. I feel things. I know things are changing, and we have to change some things. But the overall work that we are still called to do is still here. Now, I may walk out this building, get run over by a Mack truck, but the Word of God will go on, and maybe the message is being passed on to you to think about that, to think about yourself. And I know some of you are up in age, and some of you have done a lot of stuff, or some of you are tired, but I'm saying it's not time to quit yet. There's still a work for us to do. So I prayerfully consider that scripture, all right? And I'm going to close with that thought and encourage you prayerfully think about what the Lord wants you to do. Why are you still here? Why do you still have the strength you have? Why? Some of you ought to be dead. Some of the medical stuff that you had, that you've gone through, and things that you've been through, and yet you're still here. And I don't believe God wastes your life just to sit around and sing Kumbaya and say, "Oh well, you know, I just can't wait for the Lord to return." That's about. Let's just do what it is the Lord would have us to do with the time that we have left. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It just has to be a willingness on our part to say, like Isaiah of old said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And be surprised what the Lord will send you to do. Amen? Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Can I say something?
Yes, you don't have a microphone, so you'll have to speak up.
Yeah, I got to pick it up. Last Sunday night, Christmas night, I had a dream. And in this dream, my brother, my physical brother, and I, we went somewhere. I don't know if it was the Gulf of Mexico, the Atlantic Ocean, or Pacific, or I don't know. We were where there was a big body of water. And we saw some people along the way, and I had a chance to chat with a few. And something was going on. And I got into it, and I started paying attention to what was going on. There were three boats. Now, I don't know if everybody knows, but the number three is a very special number to God. The Trinity, we are created as a Trinity, and the body of Christ, apparently, in this dream, God had a plan for a Trinity. There were three boats. One was kind of over here. Each boat was filled with people. And there were two boats over here close together. And there was a prayer warrior. I had no ministers, no reflection against you, but God's people chosen that were prayer warriors in each boat. And I was watching and listening, and it was praying. They were praying. They were praying. They were praying. Oh, God, they were praying. And all of a sudden, I asked this lady, I said, well, what's this all about? And she said, praying for the anointing of God to fall upon the people and upon this area, or the country, you would say. And I said, my God. I said, I've heard people pray together. I've seen groups of people come together, pray. I said, but I've never seen anything like this. And you could feel the atmosphere. At least, I mean, I could feel it in the dream. The atmosphere was different, completely different. And so they still kept praying for a while, and there was another little bit of a general type service went on just to close it out. And the boats came in, and the people got off the boats, and the ministers, those that were ministering in the boats, got off, and two out of these two boats here, these ladies, came and sat down on a bench or chairs, whatever. And I saw them, and I had talked to my own brother for a few minutes and some other people. And I walked over to where these two ladies were sitting. And I got behind them, behind the two chairs like this, between them. And I hugged both of those ladies from either side. And they said, what can we do for you, sister? I said, I want the anointing that you have. I feel such a strong anointing on the two of you that I want more of that for me. And I really have deliberated over this all week long to speak this in church. But I really believe that there is a message in that for us here as this group, that we know each other, we pray, we seek the face of God. But I believe this is a call for such a time as this to intensify your prayer life, to seek all that you can possibly get from God. Whatever it is that He has extra for you that you have not had yet, seek His face with all your heart and call forth. And really, it's like the sense in my spirit is like, command it to come forth. I want it. I need it. You want to use me? And this is my prayer every day of my life, y'all. It's been for many years. Father God, in Jesus' name, use me for your glory today.
Amen.
Speak a word of life or a word of encouragement or pray, whatever it is. But I really feel it intensely, y'all, that God is calling us to pray for a greater anointing, pray for all of what He has for each one of us, because each one of us has talents that are different and abilities that are different for different reasons and different things. And I think we need to get serious with God, because let's face it, we all know that we're in a time of crisis in this country. And if it's not going to be for the body of Christ to rise up to become the people that we are called to be, the prayer warriors that will bring heaven down to us, that will bring the kingdom alive in us, in here where we are, then we have failed. And I do not want to be considered a failure in the kingdom of God. So I urge you, pray over this, seek the face of God, call forth everything that you should have to be equipped to go out and do what we are going to be faced to do as this year and the future goes on. I really feel it very strongly. The anointing's coming all over me. I'm so hot right now.
Amen. I can feel it. I can feel the heat of it right here.
But I say that to you as brothers and sisters in the Lord, and I love you with all my heart. I tell you the truth, really. I can't even comprehend the thought that if I didn't have this church to come to, I don't know what I would do.
Amen. We're glad you're here, Rosie.
I'm so glad to be here, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you for that word.
You're welcome.
Well, let's all stand, and we'll take this message. Hopefully your bladders have held out. Next week we'll have our regular service, but this has not been bad. I think it's been good. Good to see each other here. And let's pray as we close. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this band of warriors that you have gathered together here at New Beginnings Church. I thank you for your divine presence with us. Father, as this year unfolds before our very eyes, we ask that you might go before us and lead the way, and that we would follow you, and that we would see your glorious victory in every area of our life and in our community and in our country. Father, let us sing new songs of victory in the camp of the Lord. Let us be the light on the hill that others will see and know that God is still in control of things. I ask you to be with our new president-elect and all those that he's surrounded himself with, that you would protect him from evil, that you would put your divine call upon him as you did Cyrus of old, and that he might do the things that you have planned for the people of God. Cyrus didn't know what Ezra was really doing, but he established the temple of God once again and used Donald Trump to open up our nation to the righteousness that our founding fathers gave their their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors to provide and preserve for us until this very day. Be with all those who are sick and need your divine touch. We trust you with Yvonne to lift her up off the bed of affliction. All those who are suffering with sickness of one kind or another, bless us as only you can. Well, this is our prayer. In the name of Jesus our Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Thank you for being here.